This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come. This is the Eat, Sleep, Believe, Repeat podcast, your weekly AEW review and breakdown. Introducing first, the most electrifying hosts in all of professional wrestling podcasts, Gnarly Charlie.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Hey there, buddy, and the other half of our hosting duo. They call me the Duke. They call me the Digital Phantom. I am the Duke of Derps, also known as Garrett. Yo.
Hey there, buddy. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Great week of wrestling this week, man.
Dude, yeah. Started off, well, okay, Dark was boring, let's be honest. But outside of Dark, it was just like, it started off hot with Harwood versus Punk, and it just went harder from there. You know, like,
Dynamite, really, this first hour of Dynamite was...
That was announced, like, what, 2 hours before, 3 hours before the show, something like that? Like, that's the second or third time recently that Tony Khan has done that. The last time was with Danielson versus Garcia.
And I think they're really trying to pump this out to where, like, hey, keep an eye on Khan's social media because he's probably going to announce some matches. And they even alluded to that at the end of Rampage. So,
wait, Tony who?
Oh, I fucking...
That's okay, there, bud. It's okay there, bud. We'll fucking get the timing down there eventually. Hey there, bud. Hey, anyway. Before we get into the favorites and stuff like that, like I already mentioned, where I'll be going with mine. But first, there's a few orders of business to take care of off the top. First of all, you can find us both on Twitter. You can find me at Bane Duke. That's BaneDuk. And you can find Charlie at OCharlie with an X instead of an A. You can also find us on the Vasoki Entertainment YouTube channel. Vasoki Entertainment YouTube channel. That's VISOKII Entertainment. Or you can find Big Brother Reviews. You can find us reviewing Moon Knight very soon. When does that actually
this drop? Week, baby. I am Woo-hoo! So excited. Yep, right. Thursday. So if you guys are interested in Moon Knight, yep, it is Vasoki Entertainment. We'll get that to you again at the end of the show, just in case you forget.
Absolutely. We'll pump that out more. And
Moon Knight, man. Oh my god, I'm fucking ready.
Oh my god. It's blanky on the name. Oh my god.
Oscar Isaac?
Thank you. From Star Wars. I was about to say the guy from Star Wars. I was going to say they fly now. All right. Anyway.
Yeah, dude.
They fly now. They fly
we got
now,
a good anyway. Week coming up, man. It's WrestleMania week. So it seems like everyone tries to put on their A game. We got big GCW shows. We got Ring of Honor is back with Supercard of Honor and Tony Khan. And yeah, dude, it's going to be interesting. We might see Cody Rhodes pop up. Cody Rhodes, who we've been talking about a lot lately, our boy here. God, we if you guys go back,
imagine if that's in his contract. No, actually, I want to be able to ping and prepare in Khan's Ring of Honor.
Yeah, right. And if you guys go back a couple months ago, like we were talking about, you know, hey, Cody is the bloodline of AEW because that's the way it felt like with the Malakai Black feud and with what they're doing with Arn. And now he's gone. He's going to be wrestling Seth Rollins. So it's kind of nuts. It's a crazy turn of events. And I think AEW is still trying to figure out how to come around.
Speaking
on it,
of
right?
Seth Rollins, I just defeated him in WWE 2K22.
Seth Rollins
now mine. I took his championship. It's mine.
I am a massive. Speaking of Ring of Honor, I am a massive fan of Seth Rollins and
bro Tyler Black. Hey,
talk about the guy. Hey. All right, Garrett. I think you, as we like to do here, our favorites. I think you are first on the favorites, sir.
Just before we do that, there was one more thing to take care of. There was, I actually forgot to do this the last couple times, I think. If you're on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or Apple Podcasts, make sure you follow and or subscribe so that you stay up to date and get downloads automatically of the new episodes when we drop them. There's going to actually be some special episodes this week that we've actually discussed. I'll probably post more about it on Twitter, but the big WrestleMania weekend, you know, with all the shows, we're going to have some special coverage coming your way. I guess it's not this week, but next week. Well, it is this week. I guess we're Sunday already. Whatever. How do days work? All right, weeks. Anyway,
how do they possibly work?
But back to what you were saying. Before I interrupted, you were saying,
yeah, favorites. We got plenty to choose from this week.
Oh, absolutely. So for me, I already like kind of. briefly mentioned what I was going to throw as mine. I mentioned Dark was boring this week. Shout outs to Fuego Del Jobbing out as always. No, anyway. anyway, we had Dynamite opened up with a match that was just kind of, I mean, it fits the name of Dynamite. It was explosive. There was all kinds of crazy nonsense in CM Punk versus Dark Horse. So I mentioned this match was announced like a few hours before the show. When Tony Khan does this, it immediately raises my hype level for the match, not just because it's usually a good match, but because now that's going to be what's opening the show. And I'm excited to now, when the show starts, watch that match. And so I believe I tuned in live for this because of that. Like, which a lot of times I don't do because sometimes I prefer to watch it back without the commercials, like, because I have a way of watching it where I can watch it back on like the feed that was recorded on the, you know how like, what is the feed that actually shows like the uninterrupted feed? I forget. It's some specific feed. Anyway,
yeah, probably just your on-demand feed.
Whatever the on-demand feed for AEW is. I can't think of the name off the top of my head. You guys know which one I'm talking about. It's that, and it just has the uninterrupted version. So I prefer that sometimes just so I can watch some of the in-between stuff. But this was just a phenomenal heel work by Dax Harwood. I think Dax heard us talking on the podcast about how I thought Cash was the better of the two of them. because I might have not even been on the show when I said that to you. I know I said that to you recently. And Dax just goes out there and has a phenomenal wrestling match with CM Punk. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy because like we talked about for years how it was the Revival carrying the NXT tag team division back when the NXT tag team division was like goated, you know, like, and like, I don't know, like, I feel like, this match just had like, there was interference from like the Gun Club, which I didn't understand. I guess it's going to lead to a match next week, you know?
Yeah. Setting Club up the babyface FTR. Turn that we got a couple weeks ago. It's just turning it a little more for the FTR being our babyfaces.
Yeah. I mean, FTR are just like, I'm so excited for everything they're doing right now. They have a big match at Supercard of Honor. I mean, it's just like, the only thing that they could do more that would make me more excited would be feuding with the Young Bucks right now, you know, or winning the AEW World Tag Team Championships again. You know, like that's the only thing I could see them doing more that would be interesting.
Something's telling me this at All Out this year, it's going to be FTR versus the Blackpool Combat Club.
Oof,
and it's going to be fucking insane. But dude,
you know, I think, you want to hear my crazy conspiracy actually?
Go ahead.
I think that your trio that you have as part of this Blackpool Combat Club could be Punk and FTR. Because Punk just brought his edge back. And FTR are kind of slowly being hinted. I mean, they're feuding with some bad guys right now, you know, if they feud with the Gun Club, right? So,
yeah, man.
Are we turning them slowly face-ish, like sort of tweener face that, like, you know, Mox and Danielson are right now? And maybe they all join the Blackpool Combat Club. I don't know what Punk's relationship with Regal is like. I have no idea.
I imagine it's probably good, right?
Maybe, I don't know. Who knows? They obviously probably worked there at the same time. I don't know what they did in the indies because, you know, obviously there was different times where he was out there or whatever. But anyway, like, I'm just saying, like, I think, like, if FTR were to join, like, those are two professional wrestlers and I could see Jericho's group having an issue with them, you know, like.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, like, we'll have to see where that goes, but I just think it's so fascinating how you can just pick two guys like this, like Dax Harwood, member of a tag team, CM Punk, random top main eventer, you know, and throw them together in a match, and it's just like, oh yeah, this is a regular TV match on AEW.
And I gotta say, I am fully with you, man. I loved this. I think I couldn't help but be proud for Dax Harwood, because we see frequently, whether it's on social media, how much he cares about this business and how much he cares
so goddamn much.
And how much he cares about leaving a legacy and being a great wrestler. And he wants to go down as one of the best ever.
I think he wants to go down as he doesn't think he ever will, because he thinks the greatest tag team to ever tag team has already existed. But I think he wants to be
able to be that legacy to be left. And he knows in order to do that, you have to shine out on your own too. And they gave him a chance here. And my God, Garrett, he fucking took this and ran. This felt like a true wrestling match, and to give to what comes after it being on the same card in the same company and having happened back to back to this just shows the wide variety we can have. It's insane. This match and the one following is nothing like each other, but yet they both were beautiful on their own level. I gotta say, Dax really stood out to me here. And also, you know, people have kind of wondered, you know, when's CM Punk going to be back? Is he, we've seen him take his time with a lot of guys. And I don't think he's had a bad match in AEW. I actually think he's had some that are better than others, but I really love the
dog collar. He's had matches, I think, the TV matches where they were less important, so he didn't put his, like, there's a couple of them that I wish he had done more with, but for the purposes of the storyline he was in, I don't think he could. Like,
yeah, they were a lot of them were storyline based, and I think right now he knew what the deal was. He wanted to go out there and have a memorable match with Dax Harwood, and because this is why AEW is not afraid to throw these matches together, because the roster's already so deep. These guys might never match up again, so they went out there and had a memorable one. CM Punk did walk away victorious, and he won with the Anaconda Vice, which I thought was just beautiful. He should use that submission. You know what I mean? I like him tapping people out with that, and this match deserved that kind of finish. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Other than that, it pretty much set up CM Punk, which I think we all know where he's going next. Watch out, Hangman. And yeah, the Gun Club versus FTR next week. Setting up FTR getting those babyface, and my God, Dax had a great promo later, which we'll get to. But I couldn't agree more with you, man. This was probably my favorite of the week too. But we also got to get into my quote favorite. Since we like talk about two things here, is there anything else you wanted to add for that?
Yeah. Just the only thing is like that to me. Like as much as I love, you know, Extreme Rules and Chaos, like in the next match we're going to talk about, or even the other match that was like the possible one that I was going to go with, which was the main event of Rampage, you know, which also sort of had that crazy gymnastic style to it. What I love about the opening of Dynamite was that it was a classic wrestling match. It was not
100%
flashy. It was maybe a little bit, but it wasn't like it, maybe by the old wrestling standards of like the people from like Cornette's era. But like, if you look at it by modern standards, this was not that flashy of a wrestling match.
No.
And it even had moments in it where it surprised you. So like with some of the things that people did, I enjoy when wrestling surprises me. This was an example because you don't always see this kind of wrestling in AEW, you know?
I love this match. I mean, I've been watching.
I feel like this is what you get if you put Brock Anderson against, you know, Dax Harwood or Cash Wheeler, because they're both, you know, that same basis of classic wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, I think
Anderson could end up being on this level and it could be really good.
Maybe Brock Dax Anderson, has a third member of FTR.
Maybe Dax has a goal of wanting to get him there too.
Anyway, so yes, your favorite this week?
My favorite is the 8-man tag, and oh my God, this
Jeff Hardy's still trying nuts. To die.
He's trying to die, and Garrett, between this and the last match, I felt like we were watching a pay per view. Like
yes,
it genuinely felt like we were watching Elite Wrestling.
Elite Wrestling.
No, there you go, and this was so much fun. They used a commercial break. By the way, no commercial breaks versus Harwood and Punk. Zero.
Because why would you?
Yeah. And they used a commercial break here to set up the Jeff Hardy spot. So it was a well-timed commercial break. I remember watching the SmackDown the other week.
Yeah, so I think originally the tables were set up by the bad guys. And then, like, Jeff Hardy just took advantage of them.
He set them up to go through them, brother. And
exactly,
there was a lot of great one-offs here. Unfortunately, I know that there's a Sting spot being kind of the people that don't like AEW are running really hard on a Sting spot right now. Look, it is what it is. He just, I don't think Sting wanted to let go of Isaiah Cassidy out of the Scorpion Deathlock. If you've seen it, you know exactly what I mean about people just slamming him for it. Look, shit happens, right? That's the way I look at this kind of stuff. I don't really focus on it and hard on it and get really vindictive and mean about it. It's shit happens. That's literally just the way I call it.
I mean, yeah, if you fuck it up, I feel like you should just move on. But I mean, like, it's, you know, it's Sting's been doing this for a long time. I feel like we should just let Sting handle it. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. And I think he just, it was something with momentum. And yeah, anyways, this was good. This was great. Private Party. I honestly thought for a minute there they were gonna end up winning when they were setting up for the gin and juice, and Sting catches Isaiah and Matt sets Mark up. They hit each other with their finishers. 1, 2, 3. Sting, Darby Allin, and the Hardys win. And we know now next week this is setting up Darby Allin versus Andrade, right?
Yes, I believe so.
And I'm not trying to jump ahead of myself here, but okay. All right, I am. All right, we're good. And yeah, so yeah, what else do you got from this? I mean, obviously we had some beautiful spots.
Sting had a really good comeback at one point early on in the match where he was like down in the ring and they cut to it. There was the only thing I would say could have used a little bit of work. Like if they're going to have people go to the back like they did, I feel like we need to have, I mean, they did have cameras following them the whole time, but the cutting back and forth needs to get better. Like, I don't know. It's obviously Tony calling the cuts or whatever, whoever it is back there doing that, like the production person or whatever that's doing that. And like, I just, sometimes for wrestling, I feel like it needs to feel less sports-like in the way that it cuts. Like, yeah. For example, when they used the hard cuts during the last week or 2 weeks ago during the Trios match with the House of Black, where they did those three like moonsault sort of spots toward the end where they took out the person that they were fighting and then they got the pin, maybe off of Murphy's Law or something. It was like that kind of cutting was good because you don't see it all the time. But like for this match, it just felt like it needed to feel more like we were following the story, but I don't know. Maybe that was just me.
I mean, hey, makes sense to me.
That was just like for me, I'm as a person that like switched cameras like that for a little bit in college, like just as like something that I did in practice. Like I just in my head, I was thinking like, oh, OK, maybe they just weren't quite sure what to do with this, like because it's hard because like they're so far away from each other and there was people up on the ramp. They had a similar problem with this in the Revolution tornado match, you know, like where there was just so many people in different places that you had to cut around. But it worked for that because you were cutting around mostly for the big spots with like Sting and, you know, on Isaiah Cassidy and Sammy doing the flip or whatever. And some, what do they call that? The flippy do off thing through the tables. Anyway,
flippy do.
Yeah. I forget what it's called, but Spanish fly. That's what it's there called. It anyway. But yeah, it always comes to me right as I'm about to move on. Anyway. But yeah, it was a really good match. I don't know. Like I said, Jeff Hardy's still trying to die. There was so many crazy spots. I'm still more interested in Darby Allin versus Jeff Hardy right now, but I mean, I don't think we're gonna get that for a little while. So especially because every 2 days now they come up with a new person that had something signed by a wrestler they're wrestling, like, and they have a photo of when they were like a kid. Like I don't know how these timelines line up, but apparently they do. Like,
right? It's like what the hell, guys?
Anyway, yeah. So
So it was pretty fun. We had a couple news things we wanted to touch on real quick before we hop into our dark results. Number one being, following last week, we had the DDT Pro Wrestling announcement. And their champion at the time, Konosuke Takeshita, recently dropped the title at the 25th anniversary. And he this week announced he is on his way to AEW next month. So it sounds like, from what we know, this is kind of the guy that is being dubbed up as like he's 26. I mean, he's a star, right? He's being dubbed up really high right now. And we know Kenny's a fan of him. So that's kind of cool at least.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, he's on his way. So I was looking at the DDT roster and their tag team champions right now are called the Calamari Drunken Kings.
Love
Chris
it.
Brooks and Mashiro Takanashi, so
that's awesome.
The Calamari Drunken Kings.
I imagine those guys got drunk one night, ate some octopus or whatever that is.
Yeah, ate some calamari
or squid or whichever it is. I think it's squid. It's one of the two. And bruh, and then we're like, fuck it, we're a tag team now.
We're a tag team. Together. Fuck it. Yep.
Send it in.
First time champ for them in New Japan, as I kind of briefly mentioned. I've been watching some of the New Japan Cup, and we finally have our winner. And Zack Sabre Jr. is this year's winner of the New Japan Cup. He went on. He beat Shingo Takagi. He beat Will Ospreay. And in the finals, he beat Tetsuya Naito. So, good for him. I mean, that's a gauntlet to beat. And Zack Sabre has been crushing it. That match with Will Ospreay during the Cup was a 5-star match. I got around to watching it. It was fucking incredible. I love Zack Sabre Jr. And when I'm watching this, I can't help but imagine Danielson's going to do one of these next year. Danielson's going to do a tour in New Japan. It's going to happen, and it's going to be fucking awesome. because I cannot wait to see him wrestle some of these guys.
Danielson versus Ishii?
Yeah, dude, it's going to be incredible.
Danielson versus Suzuki.
Speaking of Ishii, Ishii
in a Japanese death match.
Ishii got on the multiverse of matches, which is Impact's show this week. So that should be pretty fun. I mean, honestly, that show looks pretty good too.
I might watch some stuff on it, but I don't know. I have no faith in Impact. Like,
it's hard to want to watch the full thing.
Bro, I was going to start an Impact review show for like a month on this show. I kept talking about it, and then I watched one show pay-per-view of theirs, and it was so disappointing. I was like, nah, dude, I'm good.
And we also got, for our last little bit of news here, our Supercard of Honor got two more matches added. We had Jay Lethal versus Lee Moriarty, which is just a singles match, which is kind of interesting, given what happened with Lethal this week. And Josh Woods versus Wheeler Yuta for the ROH Pure Championship. And if you're keeping count, Wheeler Yuta is 0-4 when in Pure Championship stuff. I saw that was pointed out this week. Like, well, it's a new... I'm just imagining it's a restart, right? He's won some medals in AEW now.
Exactly.
So the card in total following those two is Swerve Strickland versus Alex Zane, the Briscoe Brothers versus FTR, which I know we're both pretty excited about, and then Jonathan Gresham versus Bandito, which is going to fucking kick ass. This card's nuts. I mean, on paper, if they announced that this was like,
that's the best card of the weekend. I mean, like,
it's beautiful, and I'm really excited for it. I was going to run through this Impact one, but nah. I mean, they got a lot of crazy stuff on this. To be honest, they're really living up to this multiverse name. So they got the Ultimate X for the Impact X Championship, which is Vincent versus Chris Bay. Big fan of Chris Bay here. Rich Swann, Willie Mack, Jordan Grace, and Trey Miguel. The Champ Challenge. Deonna Purrazzo defends her ROH Women's title or her AAA title. Fatal 4-Way for the Impact Knockouts Tag Team Championship. Savannah Evans in Knockouts World Champion Tasha Steelz versus Rosemary and Havoc versus Giselle Shaw and Lady Frost versus Madison Rayne and Tennille Dashwood. I got an ad blocking my fucking thing here. We have Bullet Club versus Impact, which is Jay White versus Chris Sabin. I mean, I'm definitely thinking I'm going to check out that match. New Japan Pro Wrestling versus Pro Wrestling Noah, which is Tomohiro Ishii versus Eddie Edwards.
Interesting.
ROH versus Impact, which is the Briscoes versus the Good Brothers. And then NWA versus Impact, which is Mickey James and Nick Aldis versus Chelsea Green and Matt Cardona. And Impact World Champion Moose and PCO versus Josh Alexander and Jonah. So, that's a long card. There's some good stuff on it, though. I mean, I definitely think I got to check out Jay White, you know? Just have to.
It's so weird because they brought in Jay White for, like, two things in AEW. And it's like, yeah, he's gone. Bye. See you later.
Yeah, See you later, pal. He came through the forbidden door to wrestle a match. And that's, hey, that works. All
right, then.
Yeah, Dark Elevation time, huh?
Absolutely. All right. Excuse me. So, on Dark Elevation episode number 55, we opened up with Nyla Rose getting a squash over the Renegade, which one I'm not sure. Doesn't really matter because they're not getting signed anyway.
I know, I wrote Renegade Sister. I wrote the doll break is fucked. I don't. I guess she snapped a doll, I guess.
Anyway, so speaking of really creepy stuff, we had Julia Hart taking on Sky Blue. So the end of this match was just like awful. The pinning combination did not look good. We both just went like, what the fuck, while we were watching. Because we watched these shows together live, by the way, this week. So we did both have like comments throughout. I don't even remember what I said about these matches. I just know that at the end of that we were just like, what the fuck. Anyway,
yeah, it was like, oh, bro,
we had the Gun Club taking on a couple of jobbies, little job skis, and it was some back and forth to it. Colt 45 for the one, I believe, was how it was taken care of.
And I wanted to point out Colton selling was fantastic in this match.
Yeah, I mean, if there was like, if you know, I don't ever like to do this because tag teams are usually built upon both people being pretty decent if they're good tag teams. But like, if there was a better person in the tag team, I guess it would be Colton. But I mean, I don't really like to think about it like
that. I think that sets up well for the FTR thing, though, knowing he can sell that well.
Up next, we had the match everybody wanted, Top Flight versus Chaos Project. This match was just too long. That's all I wrote about it.
Yeah, Dante Martin shined, but yeah.
Yeah, he looked good. He always does. Next match, we had The Bunny and Emi Sakura taking on Ruby Soho and Anna Jay. This was actually a wrestling match. There was the first one that was actually, like, it felt like a real wrestling match on This Was Out of Dark. And it just carried for a little bit and was ended by the no future kick. I don't even know who took the pin in this one. I don't really care. But that's like, it's a nonsense right? Women's match. There's more women's matches on Dark every week than there is on the main roster half the time. So it's like the main roster, like it's WWE, like hey, on man, the main show. You know?
I saw a lot of people talking about this week. They it's the anniversary of that women's tag tournament they had. I mean, which surprised everyone how good it was. And
and next week we're starting a new one.
When
so,
we see yeah. when we see a match like this, I am totally cool if they run another women's tag tournament because this. Guys, I'm like, if you have not seen this, it actually was really good.
Well, we know we're getting the first Owen what women's qualifier, right?
Like, yeah, which we'll have some light predictions at the end of who we think that could be.
Yeah, absolutely. Lance Archer had a promo on Dark that they really wanted to make a big deal out of for some reason. I mean, I guess because of what he was going to go up on to do on, you know, the shows. But I mean, like, whatever, who cares? The Factory versus the Dark Order happened. Uno and Grayson was the combo for the Dark Order. There was some good combo offense. I thought this was the best match on the show, and that's, I guess, the main event should be.
Yeah.
I remember even saying at the time that, like, the Nyla Rose squash was fine, and it closing with the Dark Order versus the Factory was good. You know, it was ended with the Spin Doctor by... It was just your classic, chaotic Dark Order match.
AEW tag team match, man. You put it on, expecting good wrestling no matter who it is, and it delivers. This is what you hope
I believe
for.
This was also like a four, like an eight-man match, right? Like, yeah. Because
Stu and Uno looked fantastic in there together.
Well, it's because they were like a tag team for years yep. on the indies. They just, you know.
Uno looking great, by the way.
My complaint at the end of the show, I remember saying to you, was that we didn't have any major stars on this episode of Dark Elevation. And we would get some more of them on Dark. But, like, I feel like Dark is just, like, the nerd show right now. You know, give me Danielson, give me Punk, give me Hangman, give me Jungle Boy, Luchasaurus, Cole, Fish, O'Reilly, Nice, Lethal, any of these people. Give me those regularly, and it feel more important. But, like, giving nobody any reason. Like, and I'm not discounting any of the people that were on this show. Ruby Soho is a star. Dante Martin's working his way into being a star. The Guns Club as well. Nyla Rose is a star. But, like, the Factory and the Dark Order and, I mean, Chaos Project. Anna Jay, I guess, is kind of a star, but they've never really put any, like...
She's getting there.
Yeah. You know, like... It needs more big names for people to go and watch it. Otherwise, it's just going to stay as it is. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, and... I had Dark this week. Garrett, do you have the number on each? I do not.
Dark episode 135, I believe.
Holy shit. Nice. 135. Yeah, we had a couple debuts this week, so it's pretty cool. We opened up with Jay Lethal versus JD Drake.
Elizabeth.
Jay Lethal ended up picking up the victory here. There's a couple funny spots with the wingmen. Honestly, the story here is Jay Lethal is just so damn smooth. He won with the lethal injection. He had an in-ring promo after. And this is just kind of setting up his he had a big match this week with Adam Cole. So
Dasha should be fired for not hitting the Elizabeth.
And he just bleeds charisma, dude.
Absolutely.
He bleeds it. The Butcher and the Blade defeated Sean Dean and Carly Bravo. I thought Sean Dean had some nice combos here, but to me, the Butcher looked incredible and a beautiful finisher. And I also wanted to point, I forgot to say this during my favorite, The Butcher and Darby Allin, they continued that great chemistry together.
Yes.
Those guys, it's, you know, Darby just likes fucking pain and Butcher likes delivering the pain. So talk about a great combo.
Exactly.
Anthony Ogogo defeated an enhancement talent here. He delivered the signature knockout for the victory. I still have no idea what the plan is for Ogogo. I'm getting a little worried. I actually don't know. I have no idea. Nyla Rose had a great... win here against Casey Lennox. This is a really good finisher again, the Beast Bomb. Lennox sold the hell out of it. So then kind of the match that everyone's going to want to get into here was Blake Christian, and he defeated Rohit Raju, who was Hakeem Zayn, former Impact X Division champion. Blake Christian's one of the guys we often mentioned on here when we were talking about Anthony Green, Alex Zane, you know, that group of guys that were on 205 Live that got pretty much all deleted at the same time.
Deleted.
And Christian's been wrestling on GCW. He's now wrestling in AEW. And he delivered to me, man. I mean, he had some great ground wrestling. He's very smooth. Good floppy dudes. I thought Raju looked great. This was my first time seeing Hakeem Zayn, Raju. So I dug it, man. I think those guys had some good chemistry. But my God, only giving this match 3 minutes, I think, was a bit of a miscall. I'm guessing they were kind of just rushing shit out. I feel like this would have been a...
This did feel a lot more rushed than Elevation, yeah, if this but Elevation like a good is always quick.
8-9 minutes, this would have been nuts. This would have been a great match, I think. And if it was longer, I think we could have tossed it up for contender, but it wasn't. And hey, and then we really start flying. That was kind of the beginning of the end here. Everything else is quite literally like less than a minute about. The Acclaimed defeated the Skulk. I like that name. The main point here is the Acclaimed said they're a malnourished version of us.
I wrote in my notes, Max killed him on the mic, Anthony killed him in the ring, you know?
Perfect. AQA defeated Valentina Rossi. AQA's got a nice theme there. She pinned her with a rolling neck breaker. So I guess not always using is it a shooting star press?
Yes.
So not always using that. Another match that I thought was pretty decent, and I would have been cool if we gave it more time. Maybe instead of 14 matches, we have, you know, 8 and give some of these some time. Tony Nese defeating Karem. I mean, that guy looks great.
Interesting. Yeah.
Karem. Yeah, he has a great look. And
running Nese.
He looked bigger than Nese, which is not easy to do.
Tony Nese needs to be used more. So does Bobby Fish. So does Kyle O'Reilly. All these people could be your people if you want to have random matches on Dark.
My guess for Tony Nese, Konosuke Takeshita's first match.
Possibly.
I can see that. I can see that's the direction.
I want to see Tony Nese pulling a gun club, even though he was doing it first, and start standing outside of people's matches again while they're wrestling. Like that was
I would love
fun.
To see
why,
him do that
why'd you kill his gimmick?
At the next
why'd you give his gimmick to the gun club? Like, come on.
Yeah, right. Abaddon defeated Angela Risk. Just, you know, signature DDT, easy. The gun club defeated the Brick City Boys in 30 seconds. I'm a little excited with that name.
We got caught up on their name so much.
Dude, and it was
they got beat so quick.
Mercedes Martinez defeated Gemma Jules.
We were like, dude, this is going to be a sick team. And then they got immediately destroyed.
Yeah. Gemma Jules, I didn't point this out. Taz pointed this out. Taz was like, yeah, you could tell she hasn't been in the ring that long. I think yeah. She was probably just one of those girls that's in her first year of wrestling. Or maybe, hey, she's been doing it a long time and it just doesn't have it down like everyone else. Either way, good for her for getting on the show. She sold the finisher well.
Yes.
Varsity Blondes picked up a victory. The Julia Hart thing with her just sitting there. I don't care. I don't care anymore. I'm done with that.
I don't care about anything. Wrestling is bad.
Marina Shafir defeated Layla Gray. This was quick.
I don't know where they're going with Marina Shafir. Clearly, she's signed in some way, but she's not fully signed. Like they
maybe the heart. Maybe this Heart Cup she gets on TV.
That's what she does. Maybe the deal is like if she wins, she'll get signed or something officially. Like I don't know.
And then our main event: Powerhouse Hobbs killed Fuego del Sol.
Powerhouse.
The torture rack victory.
Yeah, Fuego del Job.
Fuego del Job. And, I mean, that was it for Dark for us. I mean, Dark was...
it was lame.
I don't like when they do this. I don't like having 14 matches and the literal entirety of it. Except for... Quite literally.
How many of these people were on TV this week even? Really?
I think a good amount of them were.
I mean, kind of, but like...
Yeah, Lethal, Butcher and the Blade, Nyla Rose.
But how many of them like were in, like, that yeah. weren't like just like the eighth person in a match or something? You know
no,
mean, like,
but yeah, no, that... I didn't have a problem with that. I just... To me, it's these 14 match cards with our longest one being like 3 minutes 30 seconds.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy. Like, they must have just been like, nah, fuck, these fans don't get any dark matches dude, this like week. Like...
I don't know. That, to me, it gets a little...
I mean, in order to do that, you would literally have to... I mean, realistically, you'd have to
you'd have to just cut all the matches in between all these matches where you recorded that were like longer than 5 minutes, you know, like,
which means that all these different shows, these are probably all from a bunch of different shows. Cause I don't think you would have like 15 squash matches before. And like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, so, I don't know.
Interesting notes there, but I guess that'll take us into Dynamite now.
Yeah. We already talked about the opening two matches of Dynamite.
We talked about the opening two matches. There was a Chris Jericho backstage interview in between those. Pretty much just talking about you're not going to see Proud and Powerful and Eddie Kingston around here anymore. And they're just kind of selling the new name and selling the fact that they main event tonight.
So how do you feel about the new names for Parker and Lee?
Oh, I think they're completely outrageous and they work in every way. Daddy Magic, Matt Menard, and Cool Hand Ange. I know their names like the back of my hand already. That's how you know they sold it. Daddy Magic, Matt Menard. And that guy is... his faces are going to be memed, and it's going to get him over.
It's just that they chose like some WWE goofy names, but I think they did that on purpose.
Agreed. They're sports entertainers.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah. And then after the 8-man tag, backstage Tony Schiavone is with Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler. Cash says Dax put on a show and wrestled from his heart. Cash calls out Gun Club and said Austin and Colton leech off their dad's respect in the business. He says that those guys are the best tag team in the world and they'll face them next Wednesday. And he also talks about, you know, I'm not going to call him. He's going to call him the Ass Boys, but he's like, I'm not going to call you by your gimmick name. This felt real. This was a heated promo, and it felt real from Dax. And it just reaffirms the fact that if Dax was wrestling in the 80s, the guy would have been a megastar.
Oh, yeah. Dax would have been like a singles champion. And
he would have been one of the biggest names in the business if Dax was in the 80s. It's just hey, man, different eras. We then go from that to another tag match and another star performance of Jon Moxley and Brian Danielson versus the Varsity Blondes.
The Varsity Blondes got the job entrance, bro.
They did. Julia Hart sat there like on the steps again the entire time, by the way, even in the promo after, which we'll talk about in a second. But I mean, look, this was perfectly fine. There was, again, some good moments. Garrison, I feel like, took some pain this match.
And during the first picture-in-picture segment, I just happened to be looking over at the screen. And Pillman was doing some good stuff.
Okay.
It sucks because they cut all the stuff that Pillman and Garrison did, pretty much. Like,
yeah, this was the first time we had to start getting to some commercials, and this match.
Yeah, a little and bit. I was fine with that because this match didn't need to be like, I wasn't like on paper like, oh, this is going to be incredible. Like, they're all good wrestlers, but it's going to be mostly a match for Mox and Danielson just to show what they can do.
I'm loving the story that we're getting with Danielson and Moxley, dude.
Are we getting a story? I mean, we're getting a story with them. But
yeah,
like,
the story is they're going to run through the entire tag division until they get to the titles. And
do you know what I wrote in my notes during this? I want them to be in a feud now. I don't want them to just be like fighting everybody. I want them to actually.
It's going to happen after Battle of the Belts. So I think they're going to do this throughout probably like another two Dynamites, maybe three, depending on where that lines up with Battle of the Belts. I think it's two more, right? Yeah, they're going to keep going up the ranks here, right? You had Henry and Drake, Taylor and Yuta, now the Varsity Blondes. Who's next? Who's the next babyface team they can face, right? And I'm sure we could think pick it if we thought about it long enough.
Top Flight.
I would love it. And I think they're going to beat these babyface teams. And then after Battle of the Belts, I think that's when the feud starts with Jurassic Express. They're going to be 6-0 as a tag team. It's going to make too much sense. You can have the Young Bucks and FTR do their thing. Hey, maybe it's against Red Dragon. Maybe they decide, hey, Blackpool Combat Club is the babyfaces. Maybe that's the route, but yeah, it's
the story. The feud I want, which is Blackpool Combat Club versus the House of Black.
I'm loving the story of.
Can you imagine the promos in that? Oh my god!
Yeah, I'm. It would be awesome. I'm loving how the story of these guys is the wrestling matches and just beating the shit out of every team on the roster. And we finally got a name, Garrett. I love the name. This fits. It's something out there I would have never guessed in a million years. The Blackpool seal of approval is, you know, what Moxley was saying you're going to get. I feel like more of the story of these guys relies after the match, because the match, they just whoop their ass. That's the goal here, right?
Yeah.
We're going to get the 5-star, you know, super fucking wrestling match, probably at the pay-per-view against whoever it is, when another team's finally on their quote unquote level. So anything else you got from this match and segment?
Yeah, it was just a really good, just a good match. Like three back-to-back matches, just incredible stuff. And to continue to flow well from here.
Yeah, it really did. I'm trying to think of who else maybe we could see them face that are baby faces, but
baby faces. I mean, yeah, like, right?
You don't want to run these guys against Proud and Powerful and just crush them.
Baby faces.
Blackpool Combat Club.
Thanks. Like, who's?
See, I would have thought maybe Dark Order.
The only way you can go with them, fuck it, just fuck it, put them against the champions, I guess. Fuck.
Yeah, so I think they're gonna just start beating a couple teams up here in these next couple weeks, and yeah, it's good. This is fun. This reminds me. I don't know how to relate this, but
you can't do Darby and Sting because like Darby feels like he's going after the TNT title right now, right? Like, so
this reminds me of The Mandalorian, where the story is the journey. The story here is gonna. We know where it's going. It's gonna be the that tag team championship match, and it's gonna be fucking fantastic. And yeah, then we had to break.
I've spoken.
That's beautiful. We head back from break, and MJF makes his way down to the ring, and this was MJF pretty much cutting a promo on Wardlow, saying kind of what we thought with this feud would go. You know, Wardlow isn't signed to AEW. Wardlow signed to MJF.
Bro, MJF fucking Mustafa Ali'd him.
He literally did. And that's what makes this so much fucking better. Wardlow is going to be paid to sit at home and not do anything. And I love that AEW actually took him off the roster on the website. It's little things like that that you love. And I don't know. He's really trying to sell this pig line. It didn't really work for me. The whole pig thing.
To me, it's just like he's just adding it in there. He's going to keep saying it. Like, he's done this before with other people where he comes up with a nickname for them. And it's not that actually that creative or good, but he says it in a way that it becomes, you know.
Yeah. The best line to me was when he was talking about he's going to make his life a living hell and he's going to put Wardlow on a cross just like Jesus.
He said that because they were in the South.
Yeah. And, I thought that was pretty good. His stank mother. That was pretty decent. Yeah. I mean, look, this is. It's really hard to sell me these security segments, but
yeah, because it feels very WWE, right?
It's really, really hard to sell me security segments because of what we're so used to. But
well, also because we've seen Wardlow and other guys like Wardlow, like just like throw these guys around. So like we know if he really wanted to, that he could. Like,
I thought this was interesting of MJF saying the Pinnacle isn't over. It's starting next week with FTR in action. You're about to move up in company. And Spears says, when you're not in the Pinnacle, when you're in the Pinnacle, you're always on top. Garrett, do you think we're going to get new people in the Pinnacle?
I mean, I think that the FTR, if they want to run babyface with Bret Hart, that there's no way they can still be in the Pinnacle.
You can't be with MJF. No.
So I think maybe they'll betray him slowly, but I don't think it'll be like right away. So I think Bret Hart might be like All Out? Not All Out. What's the next pay-per-view?
I got a pitch for you for the next Pinnacle
nothing,
member.
Right?
You ready?
What? Yeah.
This is where Miro returns.
Okay.
As the Pinnacle's heater.
I could see it. He fits right? The Pinnacle. I talked about this a while back. He fits the Pinnacle bill. If he hadn't been injured, that's what I was thinking. They're probably going to go with it, right? Like, because the Pinnacle was really on pop at the time too. So, and it would have been interesting, especially if you wanted to start that Wardlow feud, if they had another monster in there and he could start acting like he's going to replace him with Miro. You know what I mean? Like,
I think that would be a perfect new heater for them. It would work.
And then you can get Miro versus Wardlow at the pay-per-view.
Yeah. And oh man. Oh man. Oh yeah. You just sold me that easy. Or if they're bringing in new members and it's someone we'd like to see on TV more, maybe Tony Nese. I would be very cool with the Tony Nese heel turn here. Being a part of the new Pinnacle. It'd give him a big spot. Just like I know a lot of people aren't happy with Daniel Garcia in this new spot, but look, the reality is he's now on the top of the card.
Yeah, he's with the main eventer. Like,
Daniel Garcia is now at the top of the card in this group, and it's good for him.
I'll be right back. I need to use the restroom.
Yeah, no problem. And I'll just start us off in this next segment, then while he's gone. And all right, we got Wheeler Yuta, Trent, Chuck Taylor, and Orange Cassidy backstage with Tony Schiavone. Tony asks Wheeler about what happened last week between he and William Regal, John Moxley, and Bryan Danielson. Wheeler begins to speak, but Trent interrupts and says he never liked Wheeler. I'm guessing now we're probably going to most likely go into a Trent versus Yuta match, which I'm cool with. Trent says Chuck and Cassidy train him and let him sleep on the couch and ask Wheeler if he's going to repay them by joining William Regal's quote, tough guy club. And Trent says he's done with Wheeler, and Wheeler tells him, look, I love Chuck and Cassidy to death, but I've never liked you. And Wheeler says he's trying to be the best friend that he can be, which is kind of a funny little line given the group. He wants to be the best wrestler that he can be. Wheeler cuts. Shivani kicks it back, and that's where we get Adam Cole versus Jay Lethal. And yeah, I mean, talk about a fun little match. And Cole versus Wheeler here. So this, Garrett, it was also announced the week before. I was looking really excited to this because we've been talking about, look, where's Jay Lethal going? He's been winning just about every week on Dark, sometimes both, with that beautiful move, the Lethal Injection, which, oh my God, he hit one this match and it was fucking... No, he did. I can't remember now. He went for it a couple times. I think he got it once and then got cheated and then lost. Which, by the way, guys, I know Adam Cole's heel. Adam Cole doesn't need to cheat every time to win. We will believe Adam Cole if he wins, okay? Throwing that out there, guys. Just
I mean, yeah.
Just laying that one out there. It's believable Adam Cole can win on his own.
I mean.
It's a little bit repetitive booking when you keep doing that with him, right?
I mean, it is also a little silly, too, when you add that on top of the fact that he also had the only loss he's had has been in a non-sanctioned match. So it's like his only real loss anyway. I mean, like.
Yeah, that wasn't for the title loss, right? So, look, I think Adam Cole doesn't need to have this happen every single time.
I actually wrote in my notes, I'm surprised this wasn't a match on Dark or something, you know, because normally when people come in, that's what Adam Cole does is he has a match with them. He has to kind of throw that away. I guess they just don't want to have stars on Dark anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know. It's weird, right? I wouldn't mind it if he was on there, but this was really fun. This was another fun match. The show was, I think it was needing this right here.
I disagree. I thought that to this point, the structure of the card was really well built. I felt coming out of the Wheeler Yuta being thrown out of his.
Well, I was just saying, I think we needed a match now. We are ready for it.
Oh, I agree. Cause we had like back to back promos. Yeah, coming out of the Mox promo. So it's like, yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
I was I think just the pace was, we were ready for a match. And look, I think the story here between Lethal saying, you know, it's time for something new. So I do have a little heat here with the end of this match. Besides the cheating to win, Adam Cole calls out Hangman, stole the win at Revolution, says he pinned Jungle Boy in the tag last meet. He stared into Paige's eyes and he saw fear. I like it. I like that. And then Hangman comes out, starts getting wailed on, and my God, Jurassic Express is doing the same fucking thing every episode. They're sprinting to the ring, looking like geeks.
Yeah, they don't ever defend their titles.
They're sprinting to the ring, looking like geeks, chasing Red Dragon. I really don't like what they're doing with Jurassic Express these past couple weeks.
It's like Jurassic Express suffers from the same problem that the Lucha Bros did. They just are too good in the ring to not just, you can't throw them on every week because then that has to be your main event, you know, like, but like, or if it's not, it has to open the show. And so like, and then they have to follow that. So it's like, it's you book yourself into these corners when you put certain people as champion. It sucks.
Yeah, I really hate that our tag champs are bundled. I know why they're doing it, right?
Weird. In a company with some of the best tag team wrestling in the world, if not the best, they cannot ever put the belt on somebody convincing. It's crazy, you know, like.
I feel like the week-to-week segments take hits. Once the title reign starts going, these week-to-week segments keep fucking getting awful. I mean,
how long did FTR hold the titles for originally when they had them? Like,
they have them a pretty decent amount of time.
Maybe that just needs to be what happens. Maybe they just hold the championships forever and they never go to anyone else.
Well, I mean, that's the problem, right? Everyone needs their reign. So, I don't know, man. FTR still had the shortest reign. They only had 63 days.
If you put it on Top Flight, that'd be incredible, but that's not going to happen. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, no, not yet. And look, I think following this, the show really took a weird turn. But yeah, I don't know. The match was great though. So I'm going to take it back to the match. What did you think of the match?
Match itself was good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I want to see more. I want to see more direction from some of these storylines right now, if that makes any sense. You know, like.
Because right now it feels like we're just entirely focused on Battle of the Belts and everyone else is kind
of
just.
Because Battle of the Belts is kind of a flux pay-per-view where, like, people. Do you remember what happened last time? Originally, the tag champions at the time weren't going to be feuding with FTR still, but then something that happened to that show made them bounce back the other way or something like that. It was some championship feud like that where originally we didn't think. So it's almost like it can change the course of the storyline. So that's what's going to happen. So, like, I don't know. Like, it feels like we should know where we're going. I don't know. Like, roughly anyway, you know, like, I don't know. The uncertainty makes me. Like, I don't know if it's going to be good or not, you know, like.
Yeah, I think Battle of the Belts is going to be tag titles, world title, and probably Jade, right? I'm assuming we're going to get
Jade. They should pull some BS and have, like, a Ring of Honor title on there somehow, like.
Oh, no, it's not going to be Jade, it's going to be the FTW. Yep, it's going to be FTW.
We just had an FTW title match.
It's going to be Ricky Starks versus Keith Lee, and Keith Lee's going to win.
Oh, true, actually, yeah.
Yep. That, remember, we've been calling that for as soon as they started this feud. It's like, oh, Keith Lee's going to win.
I still think the Acclaim should join Team Taz, and I don't care what people are going to say about that, but, like, I genuinely think that would be a good addition. Because it would be.
So it's kind of, we didn't even talk
about
this.
Imagine if Hook had an actual rapper to rap him out to the ring, bro. Come on.
Hook had a great segment. I can't wait. But yeah, that we both kind of agree. Our tag champs are doing the same fucking thing week after week. It's kind of driving me nuts.
It's lame. And speaking of doing the same thing week after week, no, I'm just kidding. We're actually not on that segment yet.
We get back from the break, and former TNT champion Sammy Guevara's in the ring alongside Tay Conti. And this was the most sports entertainment of the week here. Sammy says that his body pays for all the work that he does, but it's worth it. Tay grabs the mic and calls out Paige VanZant. Dan Lambert makes his way out with Ethan and Scorpio Sky. I don't like Lambert wearing that title. Still, it's really dorky.
Get rid of the other title. I'm telling you, if you want to do the interim championship thing, get rid of the other championship once you've unified them. Otherwise, you cannot set that precedent going forward because then they have to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, Sammy, I feel like didn't want to let that shit go because I wish and I hope that Sammy was just being sarcastic and I just couldn't tell in his vlog when he said that it's like the time John Cena won the championship for Randy Orton and they went around with the two belts, which is literally talked about as one of the worst things they ever did in WWE with those championships was when they unified them and they didn't actually just make one championship, which eventually they just did anyway, you know, like. So,
yeah, and
again, I hope he was joking about that, but I could see him actually thinking that logic through, and because I could almost see it, but I'm like, but also only like if you really have two separate belts, like if someone did like was TNT champion and won the FTW championship off Starks, say, like I could see them doing a similar thing like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Like what they were doing with Kenny.
But
when
the
he was
same championship
all.
Twice, like this is UFC or something. Like, no. And even then in UFC, if it's interim champions, I think they just combine them at the end. So like,
exactly.
I like that sports centric feel, but get rid of the other belt once it's fucking been settled. Like, ah.
And this feud is, I'm just straight up. This is awful. This is really bad. This
Sammy
is
Guevara and Tay Conti apparently pulled a Page.
Yeah, we'll get into that here in a second. And so Lambert's pretty much saying Sammy can't touch Scorpio. He puts over America Top Team as well as Ethan. Sky and Paige laugh. They leave. Lambert kisses the TNT title and says Sammy can kiss his title goodbye. And this is, I mean, Sam is like, he knows that he and Tay live rent-free in Lambert's head, but knowing what he and Tay did on the belt, they're also living in Lambert's mouth. That's funny. I was like, oh, that's pretty good. It's pretty clever. Lambert freaks out. I'm like, okay, is this where we're going to drop the title? Are we getting rid of it? No, that was hopeful thinking.
The answer is no.
That was hopeful thinking. I don't know. He also, Lambert in his promo also mentioned you can check out Paige's OnlyFans. Or not Paige. Yeah, Paige. Jesus, there's two of them. Paige VanZant. What the fuck? Ethan Page and Paige VanZant. That's annoying. I don't like that.
And Adam Page.
Jesus. And so, yeah, I mean, this just makes Sammy and Tay Conti look completely unlikable. I mean, I even saw Eddie Kingston, and we all know Eddie doesn't give a fuck, bro. He's going to tell you like it is. Eddie Kingston on Twitter was posting some shade, like pretty much saying, look, isn't this the title that we're supposed to remember Brody for? And you're posting Ty Conti and Sammy Guevara pretty much posting naked with the title on Twitter after. Like, oh man. I don't know. This
Well, actually, it was the interim belt that we did it with. Shut the fuck up.
This just makes Ty Conti and Sammy Guevara's characters, not them as actual people. We're talking about their characters. This makes their characters feel completely unlikable. And I think Sammy gets booed now. I'm not even kidding you. They could turn this around and be like, oh, you're just jealous of us. And maybe it could work if they're actually going to turn Sammy heel. But Garrett,
if they turn Sammy heel, he has to go out on the next promo and be like, I'm the man that made Cody Rhodes leave AEW.
That could work. And I just think
Sammy Guevara joins the Pinnacle.
Ew. And I just think Scorpio Sky needs to get the fuck away from this, because I do not want his title feud being in this sports entertainment segment. I don't know. You know what I mean? It's kind of funny calling it a sports entertainment, saying it's the most sports entertainment.
And, ironically, when Jericho, you know what the double irony of that sports entertainment crap is? They're literally doing pro wrestling to do sports entertainment. Like, it's not like, I don't think Jess Jericho's going to like alter his moveset that significantly, you know, like,
no.
Although if he starts hitting his WWE moveset, I might pop a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Right?
But I mean, yeah, you got anything else from this?
Get it off my fucking screen, please.
I hate it. I hate it. Straight up. Red Velvet versus Layla. This match was starting off.
Also, get it off my screen. Speaking of doing the same thing every week.
Yeah, it was starting out all right, and then it gets a little weird. I love Hirsch going and grabbing two things. She grabbed the turnbuckle hook and stuck it in her shorts and hit that instead. On paper, I love the idea. Execution was pretty bad.
It requires the ref to be literally brain dead, but yes.
But the ref was even like, wait a minute. I just took this. Wait a minute. But yeah. And Layla wins. I mean, this is good for Layla. They're getting her wins back for eating the pin for Thunder Rosa after winning on pay-per-view, which is fine. I mean, I like Layla, so.
I like Layla as well. I just don't know where they're going with her, and I don't think they do either, so.
And Chris Statlander comes down to make the save, so.
Maybe after Thunder Rosa, if she survives Nyla Rose, maybe she goes, I can stay Layla next.
I think what's going to be a little funny here is Layla and Chris are going to face in this tournament. I think that's what's going to end up happening.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And maybe Red Velvet will also be in the tournament, and she'll face her in the second round or something. I don't know, to run all this back, because, yeah, you know, nothing is sacred anymore.
We get TBS champion.
We got the worst first segment in new champion history coming up, by the way.
Oh, yeah. This show took a weird turn, dude. Cargill is doing her promo. She tells Tony to cut the shit. She knows her character. She's making her party preparations ahead of the 30-0 of her start and all that. You would think this is going to lead to maybe someone jumping her before she gets 30-0, but they just did that with Serena and Hikaru Shida, so I don't know. I mean, look, Cargill knows her character. Her character's great. Let's get her on TV a little more next week then. She also is going to start having a baddies only section, which, hey, bro, I'm cool. And I loved the wrestlers like Sean Dean saying, like, hey, man, if you see my follower count going up, don't ask questions. If you see my following count going up. I thought that was pretty good. Tony Schiavone makes his way to the entrance ramp, and out comes new AEW Women's Champion, Thunder Rosa. Vicky interrupts, makes a racial comment. And Nyla Rose attacks Rosa from behind. Garrett, what did you think?
Yeah, it looked like Rosa was about to slap the taste out of Vicky's mouth. Like,
Nyla Rose, man, she seems to always be the first challenger. So, battle of the belts, or are we going all the way to double or nothing? I don't know, man.
Who knows? Who cares?
This was
they awful. Ruined the first segment for their new champion. I mean, like, what else do we expect? Like,
and they proved even more on Rampage that Nyla can talk on her own. She doesn't need Vicky anymore, guys. Let's move on here. Yeah, this was a weird. After that insane start, we got like a really weird like 25 minutes here. That was like,
huh. You know what? Fuck it. Send Vicky to get the three Joshi women back. Give me Ami Sakura, give me Mei Suruga, and give me Lulu Pencil, and have Vicky be the manager of them. Fuck it.
Yeah, and I mean, look, this it was a little weird, But yeah, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. I don't know. How do you guys feel? Jericho Appreciation Society versus Dark Order Silver and Reynolds. And yeah, I mean, Daniel Garcia with some new gear. I kind of popped right away. I'm like, oh yeah, it's time for Danny Boy. They're still singing
Danny Boy.
And look, this was a little bit of a quicker main event. One quick tag break or a commercial break, and that was it. I mean, I thought Johnny Hungy looked good, but I feel like I compliment him every single time he fucking wrestles.
Yeah, he does the bulk of the wrestling in every match that he's in, I feel like.
He does. Daniel Garcia looked good. And you know what? I'm happy for Daniel Garcia to wrestle with Chris Jericho in the main event of AEW Dynamite. Good for him. Good for Silver to wrestle against Chris Jericho. Because you know what? 2 years ago? 3 years ago? Do you think these guys ever thought this shit would happen? Fuck no. They dreamed it. But look at him now in the main event with Chris Jericho. So, fucking wrestling Hall of Famer right there. You got anything else from that main event match? I loved it. Like you said it best, Silver carrying the bulk of the work there.
I wrote down that I liked the way they cheated in this match. I don't remember what specifically it was. It must have just been different than what we normally see. So, I forget. But anyway, yeah, it was good stuff. I really enjoyed it. It's a good way. The shows were bookended well.
Yeah.
Both shows this week, so.
And this show was off to just an insane start. It got a little weird there, but hey, that's going to happen. That's going to happen. Sometimes not every segment's going to work. That's just perfect. And I'm sure some people fucking loved that stuff. There's some people that ate that shit up.
But like, you know what? Okay, small complaint here before we move on.
Yep.
This is the second week in a row where we started a new women's feud on TV. Hikaru Shida and Serena reunited. And we didn't get a follow-up to it the next week at all.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that. I don't know. I would have – honestly, I would have been cool if that main evented Rampage this week. But
yeah.
Nonetheless –
it's going to be a battle of the belts in between match, I'm telling you, man.
Hey, nonetheless, we got kicking off on Rampage. We had Excalibur, Taz, and Chris Jericho on commentary. Empire Strikes Back was running before it again. Love it. Did you happen to catch any of Empire Strikes Back running before it?
I did not. I
can't lie. My roommate and I, who you know, we caught like the last 15 minutes of it. It was pretty good. Dustin Rhodes and Lance Archer, they kind of teased us up on Dynamite. You know, they're bringing this back from 2020. They had a match in the TNT tournament back in 2020.
And I mean, everyone's like, you're crazy. They're not doing anything with Lance Archer. You're all fucking wrong. All right.
Dude,
anyway,
this is clearly the plan. And they're going to feud him with Dustin Rhodes, which I'm fine with.
It looks like he is officially like American top team. I don't know if he's like a part of that or what he's a part of.
Here's the thing also. Dan Lambert didn't have the title when he's working with Archer. I genuinely think they're trying to book Dan Lambert in two separate characters. I'm not kidding you. He doesn't mention Scorpio when he's near that guy.
It's true.
Right? It's kind of weird, dude. I just think they don't want Jake the Snake every week, so they're going to have Dan Lambert fill it.
Yeah.
But I'm cool if Scorpio kicks this guy to the side, but I mean, look, we just got to see. We got to wait and see. Some pre-match shenanigans here, but this got going pretty fast. This was a hard-hitting match. I kind of figured there was going to be some blood, which there was. The story here is after the match, Archer beat the living shit out of him.
It's like a payoff to everything that he's been doing on Dark the last few months, yeah. You know, like
Dustin Rhodes beat him and Archer's pissed. He's tired of this. He wants to win when it matters. And he freaked out. He started laying waste to the natural. And look, I think this is going to be a pretty fun feud. I think it actually might be fun.
Yeah, this will be like one of those matches on Double or Nothing, likely, that it's just going to be like, man, this is just brutal. But this is going to be one of the bloody matches. Yeah, everyone, you know?
Who knows how much longer Dustin Rhodes is wrestling? So we love seeing him in.
Especially with Cody gone. Like, you'd think, like, because they never even. Did they ever even have, like, an actual tag run? Like.
Nope, not a tag run. So they just had that beautiful match at Double or Nothing. And. Yeah, it's. This was fine. I don't think this is going to be a match for everyone. This was a lot different from the matches we had the night before. And we talk about, but some people love their brutal matches. So I'm sure this is some people's favorite match of the weekend. or the week. So anything else you got from this one?
Yeah, it was just a brutal meeting, like you said. It was a great way to open the show. Not much more to add besides that.
Yeah, so Lexi Nair is backstage, and she interviewed...
Jay Lethal?
She interviews Jay Lethal, and Jay Lethal's talking about he might need to switch it up.
Yeah, we mentioned this segment a couple of times. Like, it's interesting that he's going back to Ring of Honor when he's trying to figure things out. Like, maybe he is genuinely just going to land back in Ring of Honor, like I've suggested. Like, who knows?
He says the only two guys that beat him were Ricky Starks and Adam Cole, and they had to cheat to do it. Which is kind of bad. We won't say it. He also lost to Sammy Guevara on his debut, but that doesn't seem to be bothering him because, I mean, Sammy Guevara was on the Ultimate Hot Streak. He keeps saying there has to be a better way. I don't want a gimmick change. I like this gimmick. I don't want him to turn heel, Garrett. I like this stuff.
It's time for him to kill everyone.
I like it, though.
No one will survive.
I feel like he's a good baby face. I know.
No one will survive.
I'm going to be a little sad if he completely changes his gimmick, but I'll get it. I get it, right? That's the way it is.
He needs to be a heel when he faces Gargano. All right, anyway.
Fuego del Sol got a live mic. I don't know why I liked this so much, but I did. It's because it's like...
He got a Fuego del beating.
He did, and Fuego got the mic, and it's like... Oh, God, I could almost feel his nerves a little bit, but he crushed it. I'm not talking bad about it. He fucking crushed it.
Oh, yeah.
And I just kind of felt happy for the guy for getting this opportunity. But at the same time, I'm like, this is the little.
Oh, yeah, we'll let you have a promo for it. Go just let somebody beat you up.
This is little David calling out three fucking behemoths, not even Goliath, behemoths. And he's like.
Three megalodons.
He's thanking the fans for support. And the way the lights, so this was a taped Rampage, and they kind of played with it a little bit. The lights cut out, and instantly the fucking House of Black is there, straight out of a horror movie. One by one, they're unveiled, and Garrett, they just lay waste. I mean, lay waste to fucking poor Fuego del Sol. But
I like how the Dark Order does make the save, but not really. They let him get beat up and then come out.
I was gonna say, but now we're setting up House of Blacks.
So do you think Fuego is joining the Dark Order?
No, Fuego I Dark think this Soul. Is straight up setting up
Fuego Dark Souls. Ah, oh, the new member of the gaming channel.
Hey, I'm sure he's done. We're setting up House of Blacks next feud. We're moving on from Penta. They won that feud. So good for House of Black. I think.
Who is the Dark Order getting stolen from them? By the House of Black. Because they've picked up a new person out of every feud that they've done so far. So, well, except for the
hopefully
first
no
one.
But, you know. I don't want anyone in that group in there. I think that group's fine as it is. Because if they lose one person, they're losing, you know. Yeah, I don't want them to lose someone. But Dark Order versus House of Black, Garrett. We got a direction for House of Black now.
I mean, you can run so many combinations of that and trios and
right?
I'm regular cool with this. Tag team. You can run singles matches.
I think we'll have some great matches for the next couple months.
Absolutely.
Brody King versus 10. Main event Rampage.
Give me Malakai Black versus John Silver.
Yep. Give me Evil Uno versus Buddy Matthews.
Oof.
Stu Grayson, Buddy Matthews. Give me that. I'm down with that.
Alex Reynolds versus Matthews. Alex Reynolds versus Black. I mean, like, all these matches.
There's
like,
some great combos. Awesome. And then fuck around and get Hangman versus Malakai. Dan Lambert is back with the Men of the Year with his title. I think he's two separate characters. It's a fucking clone.
It's the multiverse, bro. It's multiverse. Broken open. TNA broke open the fucking multiverse.
This is Dan Lambert from Earth 69.
No, TNA broke open the multiverse actually like 4 or 5 years ago or however long ago it was when they had the fucking total nonstop deletion, and we're just now seeing the ramifications of that now.
It's starting to make wave now. But yeah,
now we need Zombie Strange. Where is he when you need him?
Oh no, oh no, no more zombies in wrestling. No. No. Dan Lambert and Men of the Year cut a promo with Lexi Nair. I'm unfamiliar with this Lexi Nair, but she was cutting pretty good promos. She's very attractive, and I'm cool with it. Lambert is just pretty much saying the TNT title is no longer subject to open challenges. This is the right move for Scorpio Sky. A heel should not be doing that. And if someone wants a title shot, they're going to have to show that they've earned it. So, how does one show that they earn it other than the rankings?
I don't know, man. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Any predictions at all who this could be setting up for other than Sammy? It's fucking Sammy. Never mind. But other than Sammy, if we want to have a little fun here. Sammy Guevara is number two in the rankings. Oh, God. Lance Archer's number one in the rankings.
I mean, like, there could be potentially some story there because it's two people that Lambert's
managing. This is what talks about Lethal losing here, man. Lethal versus Sky could have been pretty fun.
I still think it could be. Like,
yeah. Maybe that's the move after. Let's just hope they get this Sammy Guevara thing over with and both can move on for the fucking betterment of their longevity careers. don't hang on this too long. This can be bad. I mean, we're kind of taking it a little light.
But this is AEW we're talking about. They went all in on Jabe when we all know
there was some heat for this segment. Not good heat. I'm talking go away heat.
And by the way, that's not. I need to clarify. I'm not being mean to Jade. I'm just saying that I think there was a lot of pressure to put that championship on her when they did. You know, like
if they would have had her losing that, that might have been a little. I mean, her character's done if she loses in that tournament. And they were like,
a lot of people say that based on one match, but like that's definitely not how wrestling works. Like, you can still
salvage. But unfortunately, we've seen it too many times recently.
If undefeated streaks are all that matters, though, then like wrestling is just dead because there's nothing like.
It's how you
tying a character to that at all. Like, it's the only thing that I always had an issue with undefeated streaks. It's like there's no character there. You're just undefeated. You know, like.
No, but they've made a character out of it with Jade. That's the difference. Not every
streak. I'm saying it was a big risk. Like, you had an established person who had never won a championship, and you built the story around her having not won a champion. I'm just saying, like, from a storyline perspective, it didn't quite ring right to me. But I mean, hey, you know.
Hey, fair enough. We get Red Dragon versus 5 and 10. I know that that's a tag combination you like.
I like it less after this match because I just didn't like use them at all. So like, this match was weird. It had a really long commercial break in it, and then it ended.
Yeah, this kind of felt like I didn't know where the beginning of Rampage was going with this. I don't. I'm with you. It was like, okay.
This was just a random match to give Red Dragon because I guess they couldn't have
it. And this was just to set up, yet again, the fucking Jurassic Express running to the thing like geeks and Adam Cole steals their title. I forgot to mention Adam Cole stole Hangman's title, so they're Undisputed Elite are going to have all the gold next week. Which, by the way, that's what we are calling them before. I know everyone was, but that's what we are calling them before they joined. And now that is the official trademark, is Undisputed Elite. It's kind of cool. I hate Jurassic Express doing this, let alone back-to-back nights, let alone, I believe, three segments in a row for them on TV, maybe four. They're the fucking champions, man. You know what I mean? I'm with you. I mean, I really got nothing from this match. I guess 10 looked good.
10 always looks good. I mean, I just don't know. Like, I don't know what they're doing with, like, Red Dragon. This is what I was talking about. I don't know the direction that anything's going right now. I hope, like, a lot of times when I'm like this, AEW does the thing where they, like,
this is where we're going. Red Dragon's direction is Jurassic Express. What five?
Well, yes, but they're, like, in a holding pattern right now. They're not actually
It feels like week to week they have no idea what the fuck they're doing. I agree with that. That's why Jurassic Express running to the ring every time. It looks so stupid. I like the finish, by the way, the twisting of Ten's mask. That's a fun way to do it.
They've used it a couple of times, though, recently. Like, come up with a different way to beat Ten. Like,
I like it. Yeah, it was cool.
He can take losses that are actual losses. It just can't be that many. And like, that's what I'm saying. Like, Jade could have taken a loss. Do you know what you know why I think Jade should have taken that loss? Because Jade should have come out and attacked Britt Baker. That's what should have happened. Can you imagine the amount of fucking positivity that would have been shown toward that? People would have been mad initially, but then they would have realized that they were going to finally get an end to the Britt Baker title reign in a way that they thought was actually meaningful and put it on a star that you actually are trying to build up. And then you could have put it on either Thunder Rosa or Ruby Soho or honestly Chris Statlander in that other tournament. I just felt like putting Jade in that tournament wasn't a mistake because Jade shouldn't win that tournament. If Jade's in that tournament, she should win it.
Yeah.
But if she's not in that tournament, you could have her win the big one. Like, you know, like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If she was in, since she was in the tournament, she had to win it.
That's all I was getting at. Like, you know, like.
Agreed.
But I don't know. Like, I'm just, I like, okay, so.
To me, she's doing the best right now for the women again. I mean, I guess Layla Hirsch kind of is, but my God, now we got Nyla and Thunder in some weird fucking thing. So it's like, Jade's really the only one that still feels like a star. That's the big story
right now. Like, everything that does have a direction, I'm not into, and everything that doesn't have a direction, I want to know where it's going so that we have some good stuff. Like, I don't know, like...
Yeah,
Nyla, let's talk about Hook'em overall.
Nyla gets a quick squash match against Maddie Rynkowski. Before the match, Jericho gave Nyla the sports entertainer of the week.
I hope that doesn't become a thing, but it probably will.
I hope it does. Because I would have given it to Sammy Guevara out of it just being fucking petty. That would have been funny. But no, we know why I gave it to Nyla.
All right, send Hook.
Rose, yeah, this was quick. The Hook Certificate of Accomplishment Award. QT was just selling this award. Aaron Solo was all big and happy. And Hook did the only thing that Hook could do. He walked out to the ring, didn't say a word, grabbed Solo and smashed his face through the fucking pit, through the frame.
Exactly.
I mean, Hook is beautiful. And then it gets better. Danhausen came out and tried to curse Hook, but you can't curse Hook. He's uncursable. He walked past him. Commentary played it up, and
I swear to God, if they put Danhausen in the ring with Hook and Danhausen somehow beats Hook, I'm done with AEW.
That's not happening, but I like it. No, I actually don't like it. We talk about their presentation of Hook is perfect. And I think they have this is not a thin line. I mean, with Hook, he's going to be a star now for at least the next few months, unless they royally fuck this up. And I have faith now that they're not going to, with how he's been booked for about the past 4 months. So
it's going. I think if you run like 3 or 4 months as Scorpio as champion and then have Hook take that off of him, that'd be incredible. But I don't think it's going to happen. I honestly think Hook is FTW championship bound. Like when one,
maybe he's the one that gets it back from Keith Lee. If Keith Lee wins it, I mean, look,
that'd be pretty awesome. I'd like to see it. But do you want to see whoever wins the title off Ricky has to be somebody who you can have take a loss. It can't be like, I don't know if I want Keith Lee or Swerve to take a loss right now.
Well, you know, like, well, hey, so we saw, well, the main event promo here, Ricky Starks was fantastic. He was telling Swerve that he's evicted from his last house. I love that, by the way. Swerve is going to make Austin whose house? And with that, it's time for the main event. And we get Dynamite preview for next week, Rampage preview for next week. We'll talk about in a minute here. Ricky Starks defeated Swerve in about 11 minutes to retain the FTW championship.
There were shenanigans, though, so, you know.
This was an awesome match. If you were to pick the other one as your favorite, this probably would have been the third choice, so I would have one here.
This was my other option as well, for sure. I already mentioned that. This was
awesome.
The pace was insane. They went move for move back and forth. The crowd was super into the matches all night.
Every time.
Which means that they were still rolling after they stopped taping filming Dynamite. You know what I mean? Like,
every time Swerve's out there, the energy changes. And he has this specialness to his character and to who he is as a wrestler. He's hitting beautiful moves. He's selling good moves. I don't know how you fire this guy.
Because you're dumb.
He hit a leaping flatliner.
You don't know what good wrestling is.
I mean, dude. There was one of the moves, he's running from the apron and did, I believe it was a running shooting star press. I mean, oh my God. Then he hit it this double stomp. Dude, this match kicked ass. But
what's crazy is they also teed up more Keith Lee stuff at the end. And it's like, I mean, you know, I'm okay with Swerve taking a loss if there's shenanigans, but we can only get away with this so much. And I can't believe how true the prediction that I made months ago that AEW was going to start using DQs like crazy and stuff like, and shenanigans like crazy.
There
wasn't
a DQ. Oh, yeah.
No, I'm saying
I agree with the shenanigans.
Because here's the thing, like DQs and shenanigans, like they all fall into the same category for me because I'd like put them all in the same category because they all just result in, well, technically they didn't lose, you know, like, well, yeah, but I don't know. It happens way too often, you know, like,
So the thing here was Hobbs laid Swerve out. He fucking destroyed him with a body block and threw him back in the ring. Starks at the Rochambeau to get the pin. And after
I want Ricky Starks to stop feeling like he's just teeing people up for Hobbs, though. Like, I don't want that to just be what Ricky Starks does, you know, like.
Because it does kind of feel like that. Like Keith Lee is going to face probably Ricky Starks, but I think Hobbs will be ultimately who Keith Lee is really feuding with. You know, like.
Yeah, it that might be. I'm guessing they're going to get a, we're going to get a fucking beautiful tag match out of this somewhere soon.
Hopefully. Oh, absolutely. That's going to be like a main event.
This was a fun thing. They were playing up the Entourage. By the way, Jericho had a fucking hilarious line. Is this guy in yellow heels? He touched my chair. I almost had to lay him out. That popped me.
Yeah.
They were setting up this banner, and you could
Jericho will too. He'll fight you backstage.
Oh yeah, and you could tell from a mile away it was going to be Keith Lee that goes through this banner. Keith Lee versus Hobbs start getting some swings in. The crowd was loving it. What I took away from this though, they've now had Swerve main event both of his matches. They see it. They know that the energy changes when Swerve comes out. I mean, obviously they're there, right? This is in the fourth hour of people being at this show. And as soon as Swerve came out, the energy changed.
I mean, the crowd was so hot, though, the whole night. It was kind of nuts. Like,
it's a fantastic crowd, Austin. We'll give you that, right?
But yeah.
I really think Swerve is special, man. We talk about the like quote unquote guys going up our favorites list or something like that. And it's like Swerve is becoming fast one of my favorite wrestlers. And I mean,
he's been one of mine for a while. I remember spotting this guy in the NXT breakout tournament and being like, this is going to be somebody who you should watch. Like,
I've always really liked him, but now I think he is. Yeah, it's really nice, and I'm loving him on TV. I can't wait to see where Swerve is 6 months from now. Because we kind of mentioned it earlier. I mean, if you get over organically, you're going to get a push, as you should. So, yeah.
And the revolution is televised.
Beautifully. Ricky Starks, man. What a... Great job main event there, man. I really, really am liking Team
Pat. I maintain that Ricky Starks can main event any Rampage that you want him to.
Yeah, so absolutely. And next week we have in Rampage, we have the House of Black versus two members of the Dark Order and Fuego del Sol. I can't remember who it is off the top of my head. But I believe it's Evil Uno and Stu Grayson.
Probably.
I'll have to double check that, but I believe it's those two.
The mask battalion. Excalibur will probably be talking about masks.
On Dynamite, we have Darby Allin versus Andrade. Oh, finally, I'm ready. FTR versus Gun Club. And the Owen Hart Tournament Qualifier. The Bunny versus the newest signing to the women's division. Garrett.
Bunny versus Athena, give it to me.
I am 100% down. If I were to predict right now, I would say Athena with you. If it's not Athena, I'm going to guess Tony Storm. We also have Nixon Newell, Taya Valkyrie.
Tenille Dashwood.
There you go, Tenille Dashwood. I mean, there's plenty of names they could pick from. I really don't think they can fuck it up, to be honest. So, I'm cool. Maybe it's...
They could have... imagine if Deonna Purrazzo just showed up, dude.
Ooh, that'd be fucking big. Yeah. Mickey James. I mean, look, there's a lot of options here.
Mickey James being in all three promotions within a year would be incredible.
It really would be. I'm hoping for Athena.
Agreed.
I think she instantly becomes one of the best wrestlers on this roster. She's so good. And look, good for the Bunny. The Bunny getting another spot. The Bunny works, man. I respect her. Great tag match this week for her. And yeah, Chavo Guerrero didn't like how it ended in AEW for him. So,
do you blame him?
Yeah. So
he just got told on Twitter, basically. Yeah, you know, like
literally. So, yeah, we got a long week of wrestling, guys. So strap in.
Yeah.
Catch, Eat, Sleep, Elite. The plan is, I don't know. We're gonna have some coverage this week. We're definitely gonna talk about Supercard of Honor because we kind of at this point. There's a lot of AEW association, so.
Absolutely. If New Japan was running a card with a bunch of AEW wrestlers on it, we'd probably watch it too. You know what I mean? Like,
I love New Japan. Oh, yeah. All right, check back for your stand and deliver coverage, increment by increment. No.
As we go match by match, I'll be doing live commentary, breaking down the matches like I used to do. No, I'm just kidding.
Dude, that's true. You used to do TakeOver live commentary.
I did. I think I did a good job too.
Hell yeah. I agree. Anything else you got for the people, Garrett?
Ricky Starks is the greatest champion in AEW.
Ooh, okay. Okay. I like it. The Revolution is televised. We will see you guys next week, baby.
For he is limitless.
Daniel Garcia, sports entertainer.
Sports entertainer.